morning. I was asked by Linda about 2 weeks ago to put a title on this sermon, and only because your pastor had told me you were 150 years old did I come up with this title. I hadn't thought about the sermon. I just thought, well, what's next? And then I struggled with the sermon, and all of a sudden, I came to my desk on Monday, and in my computer, miracle of miracle, I had a letter from Dr. King, who preached here in 1960, which I'm sure most of you know. So here's a letter, the first one you've received from Dr. King, I'm sure. And unlike most sermons, I have to read it since it's his letter, not mine. My dear friends of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Germantown, in recognition of your congregation's 150-year history, I'd like to take a few moments to reflect on your past and then to turn to the question that begs our attention, what's next? A title Dick has given me. I believe that each of you is called today to a genuine revolution of values. You're being called into a worldwide fellowship of values that goes beyond one's race, tribe, and class. You are being called to love your neighbor. This is not some kind of Pollyanna wistfulness, but it stems from the unifying principle that unlocks the door to ultimate reality. Let me be more specific. This is the way this congregation has, in so many ways, been living its faith for the past 150 years in this city. Most recently, you have labored long and hard trying to figure out how you might end racism. Your consistent and caring engagement over many years at the Linglebach School means that you understand that social change is long-term stuff and slow, and that children are our future. One cannot forget the large banner that was in front of this church for many years proclaiming that this sacred place was a nuclear-free zone. Food and clothing collections, being a place where all of God's children are welcome, being a focal point for UU congregations during that day that bears my name, all of this and much, much more has been your wonderful history. You should take some pride in this. They asked the Buddhist priest, what is a good life? And he thought for a few moments and he said, what is the reason to live the good life? And he thought for a few moments and he said, the reason to live a good life, first, is because it's efficacious. It's good in its own right. But he said the second reason to live it is that when you get old, it's really fun to remember. You should now be having some fun remembering 150 years, whether it was Paul Tillich or Banner or a drive for money for some needy cause. You should take time and enjoy what has gone on. But now we must ask the question, what comes next for this congregation? Context is critical in thinking about the future. Just as the annual King Weekend ushers in many and a wide variety of small, incremental, and important changes in the neighborhoods in the city, there have been great and important changes across the nation in recent years. The increasing and impressive role of women now play in all aspects of society is one. The fact that African Americans have continued to make progress along their long journey toward equality and freedom is another. The fact that the acceptance of gays, lesbians, and transgender citizens is now a subject of concern when in my time, one could barely mention these words. The great strides that the environmental movement has made and the fact that now many understand it is a critical social justice issue. And yes, it is a great step forward to have an African-American president for the first time. I'm sure all of you can add to this list of context. I like to think that these and other changes over the past few years are in some small way ripples from the small pebbles of change we introduced in my time. I do know this. God does not prompt social change in one generation without leaving succeeding generations tasks to do and advocacy leaders to help in their accomplishment. This is your context as you prepare now for 150 more years. Friends, you know better than I that many good things that have transpired since I was with you. However, you also know that all signs of progress are precarious, and the solution of one problem brings us, yes, face to face with the next problem. We know that there is still much evil in the world and in the nation. The face of evil is manifold. It is violence, it is greed, prisons, war, and seemingly more war, venom in the political arena, and the list goes on. These are just some of the issues that cry out for attention. Many of you here this morning are engaged beyond the walls of this congregation in a wide variety of social change activity. I applaud your engagement. Your witness underscores what all of us know in the deepest part of our body and soul. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. I also know this. There is no greater issue plaguing the country at home or abroad than the issue of violence. During my speech in 1967 at Riverside Church, I said the United States was the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. I meant that then, and I think that now. I weep for our nation. We should all weep for our nation. In my darkest moments, I used to think that there was perhaps a genetic flaw in the American psyche that was the basis of all of our violence on television, in the streets and homes, in distant parts of the world. But I knew that this was not the case. Our tendency toward violence lies deeply within the soul of the nation, but it is a sickness and not a spiritual death notice. My old friend Bill Coffin had it right when he said that we are beginning to resemble extinct dinosaurs who suffered from too much armor and too little brain. Perhaps those with sufficient analytical skill can someday help you understand why and war and the wherefore of violence in America. But moving ahead to address the many faces of violence is a moral imperative for today. You may ask, what can I do to be effective? My advice is to find somewhere that you can begin to make a contribution and not worry too much about effectiveness. As a member of this faith community, I'd ask that you take your first step in addressing the issue of violence, whether with an organization or a movement, knowing that you will not see the entire staircase of change short of taking the first step. All social change is accomplished in 1,000 small steps, and it is a fool's notion to think that because you can do little, that you should decide to do nothing. Each of you this morning can choose to be, or renew your pledge to be, a drum major for justice. And if you make the right choice, you will be able to transform that what sometimes feels like a cosmic crisis of values into a creative period of peace. If you will make the right choice, you will be able to transform the jangling discords of the world into a beautiful symphony of sisterhood and brotherhood. And if you but make the right choice, you will be able to speed up that day all over America and all over the world when justice will roll down like water and justice like a mighty stream. The letter is signed, Your Brother, Martin.